Hey, Steve.
Hey, what?
Guess whose birthday it is this year?
Mine? Well, we had a birthday already.
Guess whose other birthday it is this year?
I don't know. Whose birthday is it this year?
The Atari 130ST!
The Atari 130ST?
Actually, I think it's the 520ST.
Probably the 520ST. It's, you mean, wait, I thought it was the Amiga's birthday this year.
I only hear about the Amiga, but guess what? The ST has a birthday this year, too.
We're going to have to celebrate the Atari ST's
birthday. We're going
to
celebrate the Atari ST's
birthday. Okay, we got to plan a birthday party for the Atari ST.
Plan a birthday party for the Atari ST.
Into the vertical line. Generation Atari. Into the vertical blend, Generation Atari.
Hey, Steve, what are we here to do?
We are in your bunker.
In my bunker. We are in the survival bunker, trying to survive tariffs.
We're in the eBay survival bunker, thinking that the tariffs are going to fall in on us right now. So that's why it's kind of dark and grainy, because we're hiding out.
We got low light because we're laying low.
We're hiding out inside the bunker. And I thought that, you know, we hadn't really got together in a long time just to sit and talk about the state of everything. I mean, we just put out these videos on our channel and sometimes podcast now, most of the time individually, because we don't have time to get
individually
together.
Researched things.
Sometimes
like
we do put out a podcast or two or a video where we've done stuff at the same time. Like the last one was the VCF.
Right.
We were going to do one about fries and then we never did it.
You did a good one about fries.
But so. We never sat and talked about it, is what I mean. We never
sat
and talked
about it. We can sit and
talk
about fries anytime you want. Doesn't have to be on video.
Well, we already put it out.
I know, I'm joking.
And then you had one about Stoss that we were going to sit down and talk about that as well, but we never got a chance to do.
STE game engine.
Yes. And then there was also the one about that I just did about SSI that we were also going to do the same thing. And we may still do that because I haven't released it as a podcast yet. But my point is we haven't really got together and done much of this. So it's kind of nice to sit in the same room and
same hovel.
The same hovel. Sit in the same space.
Same space. The same underground bunker.
The same underground bunker. The vertical blank does exist in a bunker now.
This is a bunker.
This is a bunker.
There's no more tower. It's a bunker.
Yeah, it used to be vertical blank towers, and now it's vertical blank bunker. So the first thing I wanted to talk about, just to break the ice and get off the ground, is what do you plan?
Not a lot, but I am playing Atari ST and STE games because I'm looking for good budgieware titles for a 10 great budgieware, which are licenseware games for the ST and STE. This would be when the commercial games weren't as plentiful.
Like in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, there may be ones other than that too, but just good ones that could be, it could span, these are public domain and shareware games and stuff, so it could span all the way from 88 on, but that's just, you know.
Well, similarly to you, I've been playing mostly things to write about. So I played Ultima 2 with the idea that I would had a story about Ultima 2. But playing Ultima 2 is actually really hard on the Atari 8-bit. Unless you're playing it on an actual Atari computer, which I may have to do, the actual movement commands are so bizarre.
Oh, God.
It's like you're supposed to press, like, the right arrow, left arrow, the Atari key, and, like, the equals or something. And I guess on the Atari 800, those are in the four directions. But on your regular computer, they're all over the place. So it's almost impossible to figure out. So I started that, but I couldn't play it.
You know there's an ST version of Ultima 2.
Yes. I want to play it on the Atari 800. I get it, but I want to play it on the Atari 100. Okay. My point is that the whole point of the video was that I want to play it on the Atari. Because it was back in 1983, we were at the warehouse.
Right.
And we were buying games for our birthday for the Atari 2600. And I remember the games that we bought. We bought Planet Patrol.
Yep.
We bought Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah,
and we bought Star Raiders for the Atari 2600. All great games.
All good games.
All good purchase. Very happy about it. But when we were there, I saw the box for Ultima 2 for the Atari 800, and I turned over in the back of the box, and I read the description, and the description sounded like the greatest game ever created. And then I never played it.
Couldn't play
it. So I was like, hey, wait a minute. I really want to play Ultima 2. So that was the point of it. So I want to play through Ultima 2 on the Atari 800, at least part of it. And so I started that process. It's very hard because of the way you have to swap discs, but I finally got it up and running, and then I couldn't control it.
Right.
So Atari 800, and then I was back playing Adrian, the Diary of Adrian Mole, which is a cassette, which is a budget cassette game from the UK, and so is the sequel, The Growing Pains of Adrian Mole. I want to play those because I love the Adrian Mole books.
The books are good.
And I wanted to, and the games sort of expand on the books a little bit. And I'm trying to find an interview with the guy who programmed them to find out like how he was allowed to expand on the books and in what ways. So I want to do that. I was also playing a few other games. Doing a video about the XEGS, so playing Blue Max and some other stuff. And then I'm playing Grandia 1 and 2 on the PlayStation 5, which are Saturn RPGs from the Sega Saturn, JRPGs.
Wow, sounds like you have a lot of free time.
That's not for this. That's just sucked joking. In. I wake up at like 4 in the morning and do this sometimes.
I know you don't have any free time. what else? What's next on our list?
Okay, next on our list, that we are going down our list is the Switch 2. So everybody talked about the Switch 2 online. The Switch 2 was announced a couple weeks ago.
Me what you've heard about the Switch
2. Well, here's that. Nintendo was taking pre-orders.
Right.
But now they're not because of the now we're in the bunker, the tariff bunker, the tariffs. Right. And then I think yesterday the tariffs were lifted on electronics, but I don't know if Japan manufactures in China or if they manufacture in Japan. They probably manufacture in Japan, I guess. So maybe the tariff would be lifted. Anyway, I've no idea. So the Switch 2 is coming out. It's obviously more powerful than the Switch. It's backwards incompatible. There's a bunch of controversy about it among Nintendo fans, mostly because it's expensive. And that the guys who are now in charge of Nintendo are not the same people who were in charge when the last Switch came out, the last console. So like they've had like a turnover in leadership.
Right.
And the leadership seems to be out of touch with Nintendo fans.
Well, yeah, of course.
And so there's been a lot of complaints about pricing, like the games. They say the games are going to be $80, which is expensive. But then if you actually look at
how much
inflation and stuff, it's not. But then if you think about, yes, inflation's up, but wages are static, and there's a lot of reasons. But
big games are always going to start going up to those prices.
Yeah, they are. I think that did you have a Switch?
I have a Switch.
You have a Switch?
Which Justin has a Switch.
Yeah. I have a Switch as well. I find that I play my PlayStation 5 a lot more, but I have a PlayStation 5 because back when I got it, that's what I was watching all the TV apps on. But now I watch the TV apps on my LG TV and keep them updated. So I don't really watch TV on my PlayStation 5 anymore. So now it's a retro console, basically, like playing even Grandia 1 and 2. I mean, they're like late era Saturn RPGs, but is there the Sega Saturn almost 30 years ago?
Right.
So it's still retro. Most is retro games. But I think that I love the Switch. I love that it still has cartridges. There's some controversy about whether the games are actually going to come on the cartridge or be downloaded or the updates. There's some oddities around the cartridges as well that make it sound like there's some issues there, and I don't think all of them are worked out. But in general, there's a brand new video game console coming out this year.
It's going to look expensive too, right?
It's like here in the United States, it's $400 or $450.
Not that bad.
$450, either $400 or $450, and then if you get the game with it, the pack that comes with the new version of Mario Kart, it's like an extra $50.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's expensive, though.
I watched a video about someone complaining about it. And one thing he said, it's 4K. Shouldn't it already be 4K? That was like, it was announcing the features. And why is 4K a feature? Shouldn't all things be 4K? It's like, whatever, dude. What do you want, 8K and make the games cost $300? Like, just, you know, like, that's all content that's going to cost you.
Yeah, although...
Whatever. I mean, the thing about it is I'm not going to be getting a Switch 2. And that's just...
Not anytime soon.
No, I'm not going to get... We have a Switch, so I'm not going to get a Switch. I play no video games a Switch or anything.
I play feel like I'm kind of PC. Like... It will be a couple years before I get it, because I don't really need it for anything. But at the same time, I'm very frustrated at the state of trying to play Atari ST and Atari 8-bit games emulated. Like, every time I try to get an Atari ST game going, like, I try to play Wizard's Crown
right
for the SSI video. And you, Wizard's Crown, you can get to the point where it emulates creating a player disc for you or something, and then it just blows up. And there's not a hard drive version of it. And I'm frustrated because it seems like anytime there's something with a disc, like disc access or creating a player disc or something, the emulators
just stop working.
And I've tried multiple. If anyone listens to this, I'll probably go, no, you use this. It's like, true, tell me what an idiot I am and tell me how to get them to work, because I'd love to know. Same with Dragonflight was another one where, like, I never really got it to work correctly. There's a few others. I might play Fantasy 2 or 3 and see if I can get them to. When I replayed Fantasy, Fantasy still has the same vibes emulated that it had when we played in the ST. I really think Fantasy may be the one to play, but.
I'm going to tell you right now if there's a Wizard's Crown hard drive version of.
I didn't find one online. No, it doesn't look like it, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons is, I think that one of these those games don't have, I don't think necessarily people in the UK have an affinity for a lot of those.
That's the disc version.
I think people in the UK make these things, right? Do right. A lot of things by doing the hard drive conversions of, and I think when it comes to American games that they didn't necessarily play, there's not an affinity to do it, and there aren't as many American people that know how to do these things that actually work on it. They do the Amiga version, not the ST version. So we're kind of stuck in the middle. Like, we love American made, not because they're American made, but just we love American ST games because they're the ones that we had when they can't, like when we did Lost Dutchman's Mine, right? And a good example is Dungeon Master, right? Dungeon Master is great, and everybody loves that one. But those are the games that were made in America that really aren't that even well known in the UK. But the UK guys are the only ones that would be able to actually make them work. So that's
I'm pretty sure I could get this 2-disc Wizard's Crown to work with the disc. You just have to do the disc settings correctly.
All right. Well, if you can get it to work, tell me. I'd love to be able to play Wizard's Crown again.
Okay.
So next topic was Atari.
Atari's been releasing, almost like we said, which they're releasing new games for the 7800 and the 2600 Plus. The games are 7800 versions of games.
I think there were there was one that was the 2600.
All those games are pre-created homebrews. What I'm saying is they have a new game that is Tiger Heli, and it's for the 7800. Right. Plus and a 2600 plus and the 7800, because
Countermeasure 2, which
I have as failsafe already. I have that. Everything else is a pre-existing homebrew,
Super Circus Atari.
Super Circus Atari. I don't know if it has the Poke Chip or not. I think I have one without the Poke Chip, the Avalanche game, which is a version of Avalanche. For the 2600.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Tiger Heli, the Countermeasure 2, which was failsafe, and there's one other game that was in there, and I can't remember it right at this second. We'll put a video.
It was Dark Chambers.
Dark Chambers.
Which I already have, which is a re-release, but that's good.
Laird mentioned that in the UK, that game's really hard to find. Not in Europe, but in the UK. Like, he found one.
Oh, that's
cool. In like Switzerland
it's
or something.
It's really interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, so he's really glad that one's coming out.
I don't mind them re-releasing some. They did it with Fatal Run and Ninja Golf.
It's really
last
nice
year.
To get new ones.
And Food Fight. They did Food Fight last year.
The thing is,
too.
They're charging $25 for them.
$29.99.
Whatever it is, it's not good price. $79.99.
No, $30. That's what I'm saying. Atari selling new cartridges for $30.
And now,
I'm
new
like,
games.
and their new games, like I love it. They've done what we wanted them to do for the 7800. It's great. I know it's not really a huge sustainable business for them, which is probably sad, but I'm just glad that they're doing something, and they keep that alive. And I think it gives them a lot of legitimacy. What I see videos from people online saying, Nintendo fans, and they're like, well, I don't really care about these games, but I sure wish Nintendo would do this. Like, right. Like they're like, oh, Atari's done it right. They're releasing new cartridges for their old systems, the new updated.
They brought a new cartridge system. It'd be great if Nintendo made a NES Plus that played SNES, SNES, and NES games. That'd be great. And they put a new cartridge for it. But why not?
Because they have their sights set on the new console that can play all that stuff. But it doesn't play all that stuff, and you know, because there's lots of games that you would want to play. That they don't put out. Like, for example, I think there's a Nintendo 64 version of Rogue Squadron, the Star Wars game. I would love to play that on my Switch, but it will never be available because they're never going to license that from whoever. I'm going to say it's LucasArts, but I don't, whoever made it. And put out, they're just not. They don't really put out a lot of American or non-Japanese made games on their virtual consoles. I remember on the Wii virtual console, they had the Atari 2600, and I think they might have done some Commodore 64 stuff on there. But they did it, and then they just don't do it anymore. It's like if you have it's almost like if you have a Nintendo console, your frame of reference is only NES and afterwards,
right?
And mostly Japanese games. I'm not saying all, but mostly Japanese games, or people who made games for the Japanese, like Rare, for example. People love Rare, but right. Rare was working like directly for Nintendo, right, when they're doing it. And that's your frame of reference, and everything goes in that direction. And our frame of reference starts at, home computers and goes through the Atari era and then goes to the 16-bit computer era.
Sega.
And then sort of transfers over to the Sega and PlayStation, era.
NES and other people's NES houses later. And stuff like that,
and
right?
And most of that era is like as if it didn't doesn't exist. Is as if it never existed, right? And it is super frustrating.
Speaking of not existing, it is the 40th anniversary of the Amiga that I hear all over the place. It's the 40th anniversary of the Atari ST. I've heard no one even mention it.
It is the 40th anniversary.
We're mentioning it right now. In fact, you could put that as a title.
Hey, it's the Atari ST 40th anniversary.
You could put that as a title.
We have like a birthday party. Like, when did it actually come out?
It was in December. So something like December.
No, it wasn't December. So the Atari ST didn't come out in December. They say it came out in April, but it didn't. It was like announced in April, but I don't think it really...
We'll have to find that date.
Here in the USA, when I was looking, it didn't really show up in stores until sometime in August. Now, it may have showed up in the UK earlier than that, but most of the advertisements I can find when I was actually looking... I did a video last year called... about 1985.
Right.
It was about like the when the ST was announced and came out, and along with the NES, like kind of the crossover. And it was about August when it was like at least commercialized.
Right.
People had it coming out. That's all. So that's about the right time.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a good.
Hey,
we'll do a whole video.
We'll do a whole video
about that.
We'll do it. I mean,
we'll do a whole video about the anniversary.
It's the 40th anniversary of a bunch of stuff. You look at Atari games. There's probably a ton of really interesting Atari games that came out in 1985.
Yep.
I think Paperboy and Gauntlet 40th anniversary
probably
too. I think.
Also, yeah.
And maybe like Star Wars Revenge of the Jedi. Star Wars Return of the Jedi might have come out as well. So, all right, that's that topic. This is our list of topics.
Yep, I know. Cool.
Upcoming. What do you got upcoming, Jeff? What are you working on?
So upcoming, I have, like I said, I think I mentioned it. I have some videos on Budgie licenseware for the Atari ST in various categories. So single screen arcade games. A lot of games were made in STOS. Some really good ones. And they're single screen arcade games. And I want to look at other games too. There's lots of adventures and things like that. So I'm going to kind of make a 10 good ones in a bunch of different categories using Budgieware.
Oh, nice.
And then I have the final two videos, finally. It will be like 3 years in the making or something, or 2 years in the making, where I'm doing the final years, including up to today, of Atari ST vertical flying shooters. And then I'm doing a top 25 vertical flying shooters. And then I'm going to, and inside the 25, there's 10 honorable mentions. So really, it's 35 games. But it'll be games that, the honorable mentions will be games that are kind of weird or different, that did different things. And then I'm going to go to the top ones where you just blast stuff and they're fun. So, you know.
Okay, well, I'll say that, that what I'm working on is, first of all, I put out a bunch of shorts for Crack the Seal.
Yeah.
And I realized that nobody cares about
it. Nobody's really watching them.
So with the, like the last one, I wanted to open an SSI game with, and it was Road War 2000. And so I made a whole history of Road War 2000. It actually came up more about SSI. There wasn't a lot of history of Road War 2000 I could find, so I made it more like SSI thing. And so I decided I think that's a better way to go about it. Maybe we can hit some nerves from people that way. Right, yeah, interesting things. Yeah. One of them is the ZEGS or the XEGS. I'm looking at the XEGS, trying to find out why it was created. Like, I think the video was going to be called like, why the f- does this exist? And because it makes no sense. This XEGS makes no sense. It's cool. Actually, I like the idea of the XEGS.
But I understand why
it doesn't. If the XEGS had come out in 1979, it would have been great. But now I found out why it exists. And so that's what the video was about. And then I have a copy of Blue Max, the XEGS version of Blue Max. That I'm going to open that up. And then I did a couple other, ones that I opened. One is Mickey and the Great Outdoors, which is an 8-bit game produced by Walt Disney.
Sorry.
Programmed by, I think, Rockland Software, yeah. And then distributed by Atari in 1983. Mickey and the Great Outdoors is the epitome of a vertical blank piece of software.
Yes.
Okay. In where we are in our bunker. Okay. Okay, Mickey and the Great Outdoors is produced by Walt Disney Company,
right,
as one of their first computer games. It may be their first computer game ever. They did produce the Tron game. Mattel produced Tron games, and they did do Tron, and they did Nintendo actually made a Mickey Mouse game and a watch or something.
Right.
But this is their first computer game ever, right? Of years and years, what 40 some almost 50 years of interactive software beyond there, right? But 42 years of interactive software. It's an educational game. It's not great. Okay, the animation is pretty good. The game is like, you're like, what? Like, no one even, someone came up with these ideas in like one day, and they're not, it's not great. But I did play through all of them. But here's the thing. There's no mention of this on Moby Games. There is a programmer, but there's literally no lore about this at all. It's Walt Disney's really their first produced interactive piece of software, because it came out on the Atari 800 and not on fucking NES. Nobody cares.
Or Commodore 64.
Nobody cares. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. Yeah. This is the reason why we have this. Like, podcast, because nobody, like, everyone's like, oh, that didn't matter. It's Atari. No, Atari was like, Atari had the licenses for everything, was working with all the big companies. If Atari didn't crash here in North America in 1983 and then brought up in 1984, they would have fucking been Nintendo. And no, like, it just drives me crazy. It's like, but because of that, like, it's as if it doesn't exist.
Right.
And it's exactly. Like, it can't be that way. It's, you got to at least acknowledge that this exists. I went and looked at the list of software from Walt Disney Company. It starts with two titles in 1987. For what platform?
An NES.
Yep, the NES.
So they didn't have any idea they made this.
No, they had no idea they made this. That's, if you go to Moby Games, you won't even see it listed. Anyway, that's Mickey and the Great Outdoors. I'm also working on, like I said, Adrian Mole Diaries. I have a whole thing about that because Mom had this conversation via mail with the publisher.
Really?
You had to find a book, and it's just, she left it for me when she died. And I have the envelope. It's an Adrian Mole saga is on the envelope.
Oh my God.
I opened it up, it had all these letters she had written trying to find the third Adrian Mole book that was never released here.
Oh my God.
It was really cute. But I mean, so I have that, and like, but I was going to tie that into reading the books and playing the games. And I want to find the guy who made it, because I want to ask him that question about if he was, when he was allowed
to do it. That's a totally vertical blank, because back then you couldn't get something.
Well,
it wasn't released here. Now it's within Amazon, a week of Amazon to you.
Yeah, and it's like, I mentioned Adrian Mole, even to any British people, and they're just like, they don't know. But Adrian Mole was the book series that like got me through high school. Like, it was just amazing. And I the last one came out in 2009 and is funnier than any book I've ever read in my entire life. It may be the funniest thing I've ever read. And the woman then that who wrote it, Sue Townsend, died about 3 years later. She was going to make a final book and then it never came out. So anyway, that's part of that story. And then I'm also working on, Executive Suite. I have a mental block about that, trying to get it done. And then also trying to finish the last 7800 lesson of the last one came out almost 2 years ago. I got sidetracked on title screens and then I got sidetracked on GCC history. Then I got sidetracked. Then I also have another final worse than ET you do put out as well. So,
well, of course I didn't mention that I'm working on trying to do the STE version of Scramble now. That's in the last video. I have that, but I have not had time to work on it. There's been a lot of moving around houses and things in the last couple weeks. So, and creating the hovel.
Yeah. Creating the, now we're in the,
and so the bunker, creating the bunker. And so, I haven't had time to work on that, but I'm going to be working on it.
Okay. So finally, interesting. So I found a store on eBay, easy to find. We're just going to mention it. That has a bunch of new old stock. And so here are the new things that I want to do. Crack the seal slash histories about.
It's history. Right? They're new history videos.
This
let's see. That's one that's Aztec Adventures. So it's a trilogy.
Is it Cosme? No, who is
it? It's Cosme.
No, it's not. Read
the. Well, these are Cosme games.
No, it's not.
This is by. Put these on.
We're in the darkness here.
We're in the dark, plus I couldn't see it anyway. Oh, these are, this is celery soft.
It's got Aztec Challenge, Caverns of Kafka, and Forbidden Forest. I remember all of these being listed as games in the HW Computers catalog when we wanted to get it.
So, okay.
We'll open this up. It's probably just a disc in
Aztec
here.
Aztec Challenge wasn't good enough to get into my side-scrolling games for the Atari. So,
okay. So that's one. And then the next 8-bit one, Atari 8-bit, I got is this APX version of Phobos by Doug Christensen. So this
Oh my gosh.
Phobos, sealed. I believe, is sealed. Yeah, these are all sealed. This is, I think Phobos was a sequel to Caverns of Mars. Is that right?
It is, but I don't remember I can't type in here. Phobos is just another version of, like second version
so
of Caverns of Mars.
So Phobos is like Caverns of Mars 2, I guess,
yes.
Right?
Not the real Caverns of Mars 2, which was a side-scroller.
Which was a side-scroller. Yeah. Okay, then Atari probably owned the license for Caverns of Mars, so then he had to name it Phobos.
Probably.
I don't know the history, but so that's cool. And then the next one is this game called Debonair for the Atari ST, which is a game from Epix, right? This is an example of what I'm saying. There are games, many games, or a lot of games, not many, that came out in the USA that never made it to the UK. They weren't imported by US Gold or the importers. And they're in the American packaging that no one really knows about these. I didn't even know that Debonair existed.
But it's like the same as Atari 8-bit packaging, basically.
Yeah, they look like Atari 8-bit
or Commodore 64 packaging.
Yes, okay, the last one before we go is Atari ST General Store, and this stars Bentley Bear. This is from a set of educational software that Atari made that starred Bentley Bear. I know in the past we said, how come Atari didn't use their characters? They did.
They did.
They used them for Atari ST software that no one has ever seen before. So, not nobody, but hardly anybody knows that it exists. So, we're going to be doing that as well. And that's what we got.
And one other thing to look forward to is now we're going to plan our own celebration of the Atari ST.
I think that's
birthday.
It. I think we're going to find out when the Atari ST first landed in the USA. And we're going to have Atari ST 40th birthday party.
Right.
I love it. 40th birthday party.
We're going to have balloons and presents and cake and everything. How about that?
We're in the vertical blank here in the dark, but until next time in the vertical blank.
Until next time into
the vertical blank.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full-stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner Gamer's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games with a match, programming with a fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blast.